Nú en þá komið að því að kynna hér aðal ræðumann dagsins, Rob Snell. Rob aðaleigandi Snell Brothers, ráðgjafa fyrirtæki sem sérhæfir sig í sölu á netinu. Hann hefur víðtæka reynslu af bæði fjölskyldufyrirtækjum sem og að veita ráðgjöf til annarra viðskiptavina. Fyrirtæki hans hefur hannað, þróað og markasett hundruðir af Yahoo vestunum sem skilað á góðum tekjum. Rob með BA-gráðu í grafískri hönnun frá Mississippi State University og hann höfundur bókarinnar Starting a Yahoo Store for Dummies. Hann mikill áhuga maður rafræn viðskipti og allt sem tengist Yahoo vestunum. Hann vinnur nú með endursölu aðlum Yahoo Store við að bæta vefsíður og hámarka leitarbestum. Hann heldur út í bloggsíðum þar sem hann skrifa reglulega rafræn viðskipti, stórra og smára fyrirtækja. Rob, I have just briefly introduced you in Icelandic to the audience. Maybe the only word you understood was Yahoo Store. But anyway, the floor is yours. You're welcome.
Howdy. How y'all doing? My name is Rob Snell, and I'm from Starkville, Mississippi. And I'm going to talk today about how e-commerce saved our family business. I understand you guys have had a hard year, had a little trouble with some bankers or something like that. And I understand where you're coming from. And today I'm going to talk about how our company business has survived two catastrophes, two extinction-level events that should have put us out of business, but it didn't. And I'm actually going to go through how we got online and how we grew our company, and I'm going to tell you how you can take advantage of some of the opportunities that are available on the Internet. Gundog Supply is my family's company. We sell training supplies for hunting dogs. I grew up in the business, and Who's that good-looking guy over there on the left? This is me and my baby brother, Steve. And we started our own company, Gundog Comics, or Snell Brothers, as it's now known, back when we were college students in Mississippi State, selling comic books and baseball cards, doing anything trying to get out of the dog food business. And in 1996, we opened up a copy shop. I don't know if y'all have Kinko's here or not, but the Kinko's in our town closed. And within 2 weeks, we were able to open up a copy shop. But then in 1997, I got into e-commerce and started doing e-commerce consulting once I launched our family's business online. And I have a weird relationship with Yahoo. I'm an unofficial evangelist for Yahoo Store, which is a very, very small part of Yahoo. And I've been building stores and talking to store owners. There are about 45,000 Yahoo Store owners, and they're my best friends. In 2006, my book came out, which is Starting a Yahoo Business for Dummies, which should be called Starting a Yahoo Store for Dummies. And I don't believe it's been translated yet, but Christian's working on it, and hopefully by the end of the week he'll have it for me. And I speak a lot about e-commerce and small business at search marketing conferences and small business conferences. And last year, I had the honor of testifying in front of the United States Congress on behalf of small business folks. And I wasn't in the hot seat or anything, like I was going to prison or anything. All right, but today, I'm going to talk about our family business and how e-commerce literally saved the family farm. Gundog Supply is our online business. We sell training supplies for hunting dogs. Here's my brother Steve with Roxy out in the field. This is our typical customer. Most of our customers are hunters. They have a bird dog or a retriever. This is Click, one of Steve's bird dogs. Steve's got 13 dogs. And if you notice on his neck, there are two products. There's a $5 collar at the bottom of his neck, and then there's a beeper collar at the top of his neck, which is a $100 collar. It's kind of like keeping up with your bird dog. My parents started Gundog Supply back in 1972 on their kitchen table. My dad's a hunter, and my brother got the hunting genes. I got the marketing genes. I don't understand all this hunting stuff. But he ordered a bunch of dog supplies back in 1972 from a mail order company, and he got back a bunch of junk. And he said, you know, I can do better than this. And he'd been working for the government, and he wanted to own his own company, so he started making his own dog supplies. So he started making collars and leads and leashes, and to sell them, instead of just selling them where he was, he actually started buying these tiny little bitty ads in specialty hunting dog publications. And we still do today. That's why the website's in there. And people would call on the phone or they would order over the mail. or we'd send them a catalog. Here's American Field. This magazine has a circulation of 5,000 copies, so this is a pretty small niche, these types of places. And then later on, we expanded our product line and started carrying more stuff, and we had a mail order catalog, and I mean, this is back in the 70s. You can tell we're pretty high tech. You know, we're hand addressing our labels here. I don't know if y'all do that in Iceland or not. Funny thing is, this is actually my brother's mother-in-law. Little did he know that he would be marrying her daughter in about 20 years. It's a small world in Mississippi, too. And back in 1979, my parents decided, you know, the business was growing, and they were selling some stuff, and they really liked being self-employed, and they said, well, hey, let's quit our jobs, and let's go full-time, you know? And I don't know how many people out here actually own their own business, but, I mean, it's a really scary thing to make that leap. And they did, and they started up, and then we had something happen, the first catastrophe. On Friday the 13th, April 1979, the Pearl River flooded. We had 6 feet of water in our house. This was about 6 months after my parents decided to start their business. We lost everything. We didn't have flood insurance because we didn't know we lived in a flood zone. We lost cars. We lost furniture, clothes. We basically got out with the clothes on our back. My uncle actually came up to my house in a boat at 2 o'clock in the morning to take me and my little brother to safety. The other thing is we lost our entire inventory. We had all of our dog supplies inside the garage, and it was all gone. And you guys know it's hard enough to start a company when things are good. But, you know, when things are bad, I mean, we're starting in the hole. And here's my dad after the flood, you know. And I do want to say that dog saved his life. Him spending time training that dog, working with that dog, that shows how important that bond is that our customers have with their dogs. Another thing is that I understand when you say the economy's bad, because back then, this was 1979, 1980, I was only 11 years old, but even then, I knew that the economy was bad. They had 20% interest rates. I mean, people weren't loaning money. Money was tight. And then, to add insult to injury, my dad's banker had a heart attack and died. And the new hotshot young banker showed up, and he looked at us, and he said, "You're poor credit risk." You know, and he called the note, and we literally lost our family farm. So here we are starting our company out, you know, in the first year. I mean, it's difficult, but we made it. We worked hard. This is Gundog Supplies retail location. When we had the catalog business, we noticed that a lot of folks in Mississippi actually wanted to come and shop at a store and not order through the catalog. And so we got a retail location, and we started selling premium dog food in our retail store, because all of our customers had dogs, right? But you couldn't get this stuff anywhere. I mean, you could get it, you know, at a vet, but we were one of the only places that you could get it. And we sold collars and leads and leashes and bells. And we used to sell stuff to hunting dogs. But now more of our customers look like this dog. This is Marco. Marco is not a hunting dog. Marco's a foo-foo dog, is what my dad used to call him. He hated talking to these little old ladies with their foo-foo dogs. So we changed the name of our company to the dog store to reflect, you know, our current customer base. And we still have that little bitty Gundog Supply at the top. And my parents had built a pretty good little business. I mean, look at this. From 1989 to 1996, this graph shows the monthly sales. And my parents worked hard for 15 years, and here we are in 1996. They sent us to college. I mean, you know, they weren't getting rich by any stretch of the imagination, but they were doing all right. Uh-oh, here's another one of these date slides again. That's not good. March 20th, 1996. I don't know if you guys have the same problem over here in Iceland, but back in the United States, we have this trend in retail that's been going on for the past 20 years. In retail, these huge companies come into a town, they open up these huge big box category killer stores, and they put little guys out of business. And it's not just Walmart. I mean, it's pretty much in every single category. And in the pets category, it's PetSmart. And PetSmart announced that they were opening up literally across the street from the dog store. All right, this is Jackson, Mississippi, in the southeastern United States, for those of you who are geographically challenged. Y'all probably never heard of Jackson, Mississippi. But this is where our customers were, in Jackson, Mississippi. And so our showroom used to be a warehouse, and we moved up the street to actually a pretty decent location here, and we were doing fine. But then PetSmart comes in, and guess where they open up? In a high-traffic, more convenient, more visible location, and you can imagine what happened. Here is a graph that shows our sales 12 months after PetSmart opened. And look, we didn't just roll over. A lot of our competitors in the market just gave up. They folded up their tents. They went home. They said, we cannot compete with this company. They have too much money. They're going to kill us. So 50% of our competitors immediately disappeared. And we said, look, we're just not going to let them have it. We're not going to give up the business. We got aggressive with our marketing. We started a loyalty program. We lowered our prices. I mean, anything we could do, we extended our hours. Anything we could do to fight these guys. I mean, this was war to us. And at the same time, we wanted to have a plan B because we knew that we were fighting a losing battle. And plan B for us was to reboot the catalog, to go back to our roots, to focus on the niche that got us in business in the first place, which is selling dog supplies. And man, we got into the catalog business, you know, way back in 1972. Things had changed. We had desktop publishing. It was a lot cheaper to make something. It was a lot cheaper to print stuff. But postage costs were still really high. But we spent hundreds of hours on this catalog. I mean, this catalog is a small little dinky catalog. It's maybe 40 pages. But one of the things that we did that our competitors didn't do is we actually wrote a ton of information about the products that we sell. And we sell training supplies, tracking supplies for hunting dogs. So we send out 5,000 of these catalogs to the folks who are on our mailing list. And we're really excited because we worked for 3 months knocking this thing out. And what happened? Nothing. So we're all sitting around the dinner table going, what the hell are we going to do now? I guess we could all go get jobs. My mom was watching TV, and she kept seeing this commercial over and over and over again for AT&T's e-commerce platform. And this lady got obsessed with the internet. I mean, this is 1996, 1997. You wouldn't expect your mom, who's 60 years old, to be, we got to get on the internet. I was like, Mom, the internet's just about porn, you know? And she's like, maybe we need to get into that. Well, we got to get on the internet. And, I mean, she would not let it go. I was like, come on, woman. So just to get her to be leaving me alone. And, I mean, I had my own company at this point. We had 5 retail stores selling comic books. I was working the mullet. Y'all saw that a little while ago. I was playing in a rock band. You know, I had a life. It was a good life with a good mullet, you know? No, and so I built a web store. Oh, let me back up. I didn't know anything about internet marketing, about how to build HTML web pages, about secure servers, about shopping carts, about programming. I mean, I went to graphic design school so I could be a cartoonist and not have to think about this kind of stuff, all right? But Mom was like, look, you know, we're in trouble. The family needs it. You're smart. Figure it out. Get online now. And if y'all knew my mama, you'd understand. When she gets her mind made up, it's going to happen. So we built a little bitty website. I went and got a domain, April 1997. I mean, I'm embarrassed. We didn't even save the website. I kind of had to rebuild it using some old images up in Photoshop. Because, I mean, you know, you don't archive every single thing you ever do. And I didn't really think anything was going to happen. But, I mean, it was like the typical brochureware website. And this goes to a point that somebody made it, I think, in Icelandic. My Icelandic's not as good as it used to be. But I think somebody said, you know, just building a website isn't enough. And that's true. I mean, this was a terrible website. We had an About Us, and we had a letter from the Snails. Like, you want to read a letter just, you know, written to everybody about how great we are. We had a list of the products and services that we sold, and the only actionable item on the site was a free catalog request form. Y'all remember that catalog? The one that didn't work? All right, so I spent all this time working on this website, you know, and I'm a glory hound, okay? I like getting credit for what I do. And I wanted people to come see my work because I was so proud of this website that I built. And so I said, all right, well, just building it isn't good enough. If you build it, they will come. That's crap. That's not going to happen. You have to drive traffic to your website. And back in 1997, Yahoo was where the traffic came from. Yahoo was the Google of 1997. And writing a Yahoo directory listing was the secret to getting traffic. So I did my homework. I did my research. I learned what I had to do. And I wrote a great Yahoo directory listing. And this is the Yahoo directory listing that to this day actually still exists. And it was awesome. We got tons of catalog requests. Hundreds of them. My dad was freaking out. He's like, I am not sending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people catalogs that lose money for us. Get the store online, put the catalog on the web, or shut down the website. And after all this work, you know? My brother found ViaWeb, which is now Yahoo Store. Yahoo bought them about a year after we got online. And they had an online store builder. And this was the answer to my prayers. Because I had been playing around with a shopping cart and a CGI bin and secure server stuff. And I don't understand a lot of propeller head stuff. And this was one of the first online web apps. You know, I mean, Paul Graham, the guy who created this, got $50 million from Yahoo back in 1998. I mean, they got a bargain. It's an online store builder. I mean, you build the store in your browser. You know, like using forms, clicking around. This is way back on in the dial-up, you know, 14.4 modem. I'm with you. I feel you. And uploading these huge pictures. But we had all this content from the catalog. Remember that 90 days I spent in hell with my dad writing all these catalog descriptions and laying that sucker out? You know, you upload a picture, you type in the name, you hit update, and boom, you have a product page. It had a built-in shopping cart. I didn't have to do any of that propeller head stuff. No heavy lifting on my part. Yahoo's going to take care of all that. It had a secure checkout. I didn't have to deal with security certificates or virus protection, that kind of stuff, hackers. I didn't have to deal with that. Yahoo took care of that. And on the back end, it had an order manager, and it had all the bells and whistles. And this is back in 1997. I mean, this was awesome. And one of the main points I want you guys to get from this is that they've already invented it. You don't have to go and redesign something from scratch. There's somebody out there who has a product, a service, that allows you to get online doing whatever you do. And I know all of you aren't retailers, but doing whatever you want to do online, there's a way for you to do it without having to pay, you know, $100,000 to build out a website. But, you know, you do this and now you have an online store. And this is the homepage the way it looks today. I guarantee you it didn't look like that in 1997. All right, and we already had traffic coming from our Yahoo directory listing. You remember that? I wrote a great Yahoo directory listing. We were getting hundreds of catalog requests. My dad was freaking out. We actually had visitors coming to our website. 2 days after we launched, I mean, you know, there are about 100 people a day hitting the website. That's pretty good. We didn't have 100 people a day come in the store. They're all going to PetSmart. All right, e-commerce makes it easy for folks to give you money. And this is the second point. If you cannot take payments online, you're missing out. If you just have a brochureware site, anything you can possibly do to allow folks to give you money online, if you can possibly do it. And I logged into the store, and the first day, I mean, on day three, we had our first online order, 2 days after our soft launch. And you can even see on here, I didn't even charge them shipping. Whoops, I didn't set that up yet. And this is what the guy bought. The first thing I ever sold online was a dummy launcher. This thing is like, it uses blanks to fire, the gas comes out the cylinder and shoots this dummy for the retriever to get, you know, 250 yards, because you can't throw it that far for your retriever. And it was fun. I've had more fun doing this presentation because I get to look back at all the stuff I never have time to. This page still exists on the internet today. We are still making money selling this same product for $75, just like we did, you know, 13 years ago. This same page that I made back in 1997 is making me money right now. I probably just got an order for one. And beats the hell out of getting your butt kicked by PetSmart, you know? And we didn't set the world on fire. Here's our, you know, the first, in 1997 we got online. This is, you know, like the first, what, 6-7 months? You know, but it was enough to go, this is the future. This is growing like a weed. This is where we got to be. Forget PetSmart. Forget, you know, selling dog food. And, you know, that's the first month there. But if you look at our revenue, I mean, you know, we did $88,000. I mean, that's, you know, that's okay. But for a little project, it was kind of, you know, something to get Mama to shut up, you know. That's not too bad. I love my Mama. Y'all don't take it the wrong way. You know, and so we wanted more. You know, how can I get more? I got a Yahoo directory listing. So the next thing I did is I did a little bit of research. And I said, okay, well, where are my future customers hanging out? And they don't, you know, so I can go introduce them to me. And I found a site called Working Retriever Central that had thousands of people who were retriever enthusiasts. You know, remember I was talking about, you know, how few people there are in the United States who have dogs? Well, half of them are on this website. And I contacted the owner and I said, hey, how much to buy some banners on your site? And he said, $750 for 3 months. So I told my dad, and I thought his head was going to explode, $750? So I bought banner ads on my credit card and not on his. And it worked like gangbusters. We started getting orders in. If you go back on that graph, you can see kind of about in August, that was revenue coming from those Working Retriever Central banners. And my dad was like, see, you don't have to buy advertising to make money on the internet. I was like, give me my $750, old man. All right, so let's recap, all right? 1989 to 96, dog store sales, retail store sales to foo-foo dog people, all right? And then here comes PetSmart. Boo. Terrible. Making my mama cry. All right? And then here's year one. This is where it starts to get exciting. Year one, store versus the web. And within the first 6 months, you know, the web sales caught the dog store. And part of that's because the dog store was sucking at that point. I mean, you can see PetSmart was kicking our butts. And one thing that somebody said at the break that I want to reiterate is that this is harder than it looks. If every single person in this room opened up an online store selling the exact same thing that we're selling or something else, 90% of y'all would go out of business in 90 days. You know? It's tough. It's very difficult. You have to have some sort of competitive advantage. And we did because we focused on these dog folks. It was a niche. We weren't selling foo-foo dog stuff. We weren't selling stuff for everybody, for hunting dog folks. Here's year two. And you can see at this point, you know, the web is just killing the dog store. And dog store continues to slide. You can tell where we're putting our emphasis. Year three, the same thing happens. And notice the scale of the graph keeps changing. See that line down there at the top, that dotted blue line? That's the best the dog store ever did, which is a little bit over 65,000 in a month. And at this point, we were like, you know, I love this internet. Let's get into it. But that was in 1997, you know? I mean, just showing up was half the battle. And so what I'm going to talk about now is how we got from 1997 to about 2003. And I'm talking about cashing in on search engines. All right, this is the most important thing I'm going to say all day and probably in my entire career. So if I could stand up here and just say this over and over again and y'all wouldn't leave, I'd probably do it. When customers are looking to buy what you sell, you need to show up. You need to sell it to them. When customers are looking to buy what you sell, your store, your site needs to show up in the search engines. And if that means you get in the organic, natural, free results and you get free traffic, that's great. And that means if you got to buy an ad to get to them, that's great too. And if you got to do both, that's fine. All right, well, what search engines are important? Well, you guys know this. It's Google. And I think it's the same over here as it is back in Mississippi. I mean, we got a little Bing and a little Yahoo, but 75% of my traffic is coming from Google. And the key to search engines is keywords. And boy, I'm obsessed with keywords. My friends tell me to shut up. I keep talking about keywords. I love keywords, and I'll show you why in a minute. When somebody does a search on Google for orange dog collar, the search engine results page appears. And I know you have all seen this before. And one thing I did notice in Iceland is that y'all have a bunch of ads. You know, there are tons of opportunities out there. I mean, in Mississippi, I mean, this whole thing is full up with ads. But I do searches in Iceland, and it's like there may be one or two people advertising. So those one or two people want me to shut the hell up right now, but the rest of y'all, go kick their butts. All right, on the left-hand side is the natural search result. Some people call it organic, they call it natural, they call it free. What that comes from is when Google spiders the web, they have this huge index where they keep all their web pages, and they go and they see what your web page is about, and they basically give you, when somebody does a query, a search, it gives you the results in descending order by the most relevant web page, and the way they do that is with the algorithm. And the algorithm is causing my hair to fall out. Google hides, it's a secret recipe, they don't want everybody to know what it is, so you can't automatically just do the right little dance and make your website appear. And I spend tons and tons of time thinking about search engine optimization and how to get here. All right. Inside the natural search results, you'll also sometimes see shopping results, if the keyword you're using for is like an e-commerce term, or image results, for those of you taking pictures of polar bears or whatever you take pictures of, you know. And sometimes video results. So it's like three or four separate things you got to kind of master to show up on Google. And if you'll notice, I'm not showing up in the shopping results, and I shouldn't be here talking to you. I should be back at home fixing this because this be the busiest time of the year right now for us. But if you look at that last one down there, I actually have a video on YouTube that I made that's showing up. On the right-hand side are the paid search or the sponsored links, and I heard a little bit about that in Iceland. I got here, blah, 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 sponsored links, blah, 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 Google. And I think he was talking about sponsored links. Oh, you have a beautiful language. Please don't take that. It makes me a little nervous. The room full of Vikings. You know? We know about y'all. All right, how I found search engines. Remember that first order I got? Well, every time I get an order, if there's a referrer, and a referrer is a place on the web where somebody came before they came to your website. If there's a referrer, it'll tell you what the referrer is. And so I had people from the Yahoo directory come in. I had people from those banners I bought on Working Retriever Central. But then all of a sudden I started getting all this traffic from places I'd never heard of. And here's an example, MSN. We had traffic from Hotbot. We had traffic from from Excite, from InfoSeek. We had traffic from this place I've never heard of called Google. You know, back in the 90s, I didn't know what this stuff was. And when a referrer comes from a search engine, it'll tell you the keyword phrase. And I was like, this is pretty cool. And so what I would do is I'd go to the search engine that they came from and type that same word in and see where we came up. And I found out, I know this sounds pretty basic, but back then it was an epiphany to me. If we ranked higher, we would get more clicks and more traffic. And I was like, man, we got to rank higher. That's important. All right, well, how do you keep up with what your referrer is? How do you know what your referrer is? And web analytics software is how. And most of the people in here who are propeller heads, you guys know about Google Analytics. Fortunately for us, it was baked into the Yahoo Store platform, so I didn't have to do a whole bunch to figure stuff out. But I also run GA, or Google Analytics, this web analytics software. And what it does is it tracks users. And you guys have probably heard of cookies. You go to a website, and you go to a page, and it keeps up with where individual people go. But then overall, you can kind of see these trends. You can see how your traffic's going from day to day. You can see where it's coming from. You can see, you know, specific sources, what keywords folks are using. All right, where traffic comes from. See that right there? 73%. That is why I love search engines. And I ain't paying for more than maybe 10% of that. 73% of my traffic is free. This shows me what pages customers visit. Y'all see that orange dog collars page? I just made that page up for some talks like this. I got 3,500 people already hit that page. That's pretty good. Google Analytics will show you what keywords folks are searching for, but more importantly, it'll show you how much revenue they generated and how many transactions and the average value of the transaction. So if you know, you can tie a dollar amount to a keyword phrase. You know what keyword phrases are more valuable. And this is how you get found when people are looking to buy what you sell. You collect converting keywords and you use your web analytics to do that. Right now in my personal collection, I have 21,358 converting keywords. And a converting keyword is a keyword where somebody typed it into a search engine, clicked on my ad or on my result, went to my site, poked around, shopped, used the shopping cart, and gave me money at the end of the day. They searched for this. This is what they bought. These keywords have generated over $6 million in revenue. Trackable revenue to the keyword level. And this isn't for all time. This is just for the sample that I did for this presentation. I know what keywords generate revenue. And let's talk about some examples. When somebody does a search online for your company and your domain name, you better come up. Your site better come up. That's the easiest thing to rank for. They're looking for something like your homepage. When somebody's doing a generic product category, they hadn't made up their mind who they're going to buy from yet. You know, if they're looking for leather dog collars, they're probably looking for something like this. You got to show them what they want when they come to your webpage. And keywords have intent. When people are searching for something, you can tell what they're interested in, what their intentions are on your website, and you need to make sure that your pages on your site actually can meet that demand, because if not, they're going across the street. They're going to buy it from me instead of from you. All right, specific manufacturer phrases, like Garmin GPS, one of the manufacturers we sell. We have a shop by manufacturer page. You know, specific brand model product. I mean, they know what they're looking for. They're looking for a very specific product. At this point, they've already made up their mind. They're price shopping right here. I hate it when people come in on product pages because they already know what they're going to buy. A query question. A lot of times people will search for an answer to a question. How can I stop my dog from barking? Well, answer these questions on your website and you can get traffic for these phrases. All right, what about new projects? What if any, you know, you're sitting in this room and you don't have a website, or you're sitting in this room and you want to do something different. What about new things where you don't have a bunch of history? Well, back in the day, you whippersnappers, you have it so easy today. Back in the day, we had no idea how many people were doing searches for certain keyword phrases. There was a top 100 searches on the internet list that I had in 1997. And this was like the holy grail of information. And half of the words on there were porn. Not very helpful if you're not in the porn business. Now, they're keyword tools. And today I'm going to talk about a free keyword tool called the Google AdWords Keyword Tool. Google collects all this information about people who do searches on their website, right? They know how many times a month somebody searches for every single keyword phrase. They also know what advertisers, you guys, are willing to pay for those clicks. They make this information publicly available. You don't even have to be an advertiser. Go to Google, type in keyword tool, hit enter. That first result is the keyword tool. Just click on that. Do you type in whatever keyword phrase you want to see, in this case, doghouse heater. And man, last night I think I needed one of these. It's cold here. If I knew it was going to be this cold, I would have brought a jacket. When you do a search, the results show up, and this is what you're looking at. It'll show you the keywords. It'll show you the estimated average cost per click. what you're going to have to pay Google every time somebody clicks on your ad and goes to your website, and it's going to show you the competition, how many other advertisers are actually advertising on that phrase. And I can see right here there's a nickel phrase that has less than half of the advertising slots taken. You know, I need to get to work. I'm not buying that. It'll also show you the number of searches per month, and there's a cool seasonality thing here where it shows you, you know, the highest volume occurred in what month. So there's my search phrase. If you'll notice above it and below it are two different phrases that is suggesting things to me. It will tell you, hey, here's some more ideas, because Google wants you to buy more ads. They're pretty smart about that. The last thing is that if you have an AdWords account and you're using this tool, you can click on this little ad exact and it'll add it to your AdWords account immediately. And once you do this three or four times, you can build up this huge list of keywords that gives you a great amount of information as far as research goes. You can see how many people are searching for stuff. You can see what the average cost per click is. And it's fantastic. And it's not a choice between high-value phrases and low-value phrases. Here's an example, and I'm going to use a real example, but I'm changing the keyword phrase because I'm giving a lot away, but I ain't giving it all away. All right, dog beds. All right, trust me. It's very similar. A high traffic phrase, 40,000 searches a month. All right, everybody's like, yeah, I want to rank number one for dog beds. Well, there are only 10 spots on the front page. And who knows how many hundreds of thousands of people are actually selling dog beds. All right, so dog beds, high traffic phrase. All right, a more specific phrase, large dog beds. Large dog beds. This isn't the phrase that I'm talking about, but the data is real and it's kind of similar in terms of comparing. It's a medium traffic phrase with 8,000 searches a month. All right, the revenue per visitor that I get on my website that I know about from my analytics for dog beds, $1. For large dog beds, $11. Why? I sell great, big, large dog beds. All right? They're awesome. But, you know, when people, anybody searching for dog beds for those foo-foo dogs, they don't want a bed that's this big. The inventory value, if you take the 40,000 people in the world per month searching for that and you multiply it, what the value is to me, is $40,000. Now, if you sold foo-foo dog beds, your revenue per visitor for dog beds might be $20. The inventory value for me for large dog beds is $88,000. And I know I'm getting deep, deep, deep in the weeds here, but there are probably 15 people here who will benefit, who will be able to hire some new folks and grow their businesses because of some of this detail. And I'll go back out and get macro in just a second. All right, I want you to prioritize your keywords on revenue. When I do keyword research, I want to look at how many visits I got for the keyword phrase, how many orders, and how much revenue it generated. All right, here's a bucket, and I overwrote the phrase with some fake words, but it's real data. I'm not giving all my secrets away. All right, some keywords are more valuable than others to me. Look at that $9,500 phrase. I mean, I got 86 orders for that. You know, and these are all similar keyword phrases relating to the same product. They're manufacturer searches, they're generic searches, but they're talking about the exact same unicycle seat, okay? Revenue per visitor is totally different. And what this means is the average person searching for wobble unicycle seat spends $11 when they come to my website. But if you go on down, you see the probably like row 6 or 7, you see that $29? I mean, that's almost three times as much revenue per visitor. I want to focus on those keywords. You see that $7 red block right there? Something's wrong. That tells me right there that my landing page that ranks really well for that phrase on row 3, something's wrong. That sticks out like a sore thumb to me. I need to stop right now and go fix it. The other thing I do is I actually compare my Google traffic with these phrases. How do I rank on Google for these keyword phrases? So the rank 1 column is what page of mine appears first, and rank 2 is what page of mine appears second. And if you notice, sometimes on Google you'll see indented results, you know, two listings from the same company on the same page. You can double your Google traffic by chasing after these clustered results. And there are about 4 people in here right now who get it, and you'll make a lot of money off of that. And I apologize for being so micro on that. All right, so what do you do with all these keywords? You know, you collect your keywords. Well, I want you to optimize and I want you to advertise. All right, optimize for free traffic for your best keywords. You need to write content for that. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Advertise with paid search ads, PPC ads, pay-per-click ads, for keywords where you make money with your ads. All right, free traffic, my favorite thing in the world, SEO. My girlfriend is like, please shut up about SEO. I'm so tired of hearing you talk about search engine optimization. Everybody here, have y'all ever heard of search engine optimization before? Anybody? All right, search engine optimization is making your website Google friendly, okay? That's like using text on the page, using the keywords that folks who are searching to buy what you sell, sound familiar, will find those keywords on your page. You want Google to be able to find your website, read your website, index and store your website, give you credit for the content that's on it, and then send you traffic because you actually have relevant web pages for, you know, whatever you sell, Icelandic Viking helmets or whatever your store is. Doghouse heater. This is what you want to happen. When you do search engine optimization, this is the purpose. Number one, out of 22,000 web pages on the internet right now, my mama's number one for doghouse heater, and I hope she'll ship me one tonight. How I do SEO, I'm going to hit this real quick. All right, pick a keyword, doghouse heaters. All right, the first thing I do is I pick the most relevant page. What page on my site is the most, is a perfect page that I would show somebody instead of dropping them on the home page, give them the real page. All right, well, this is it. This is my section page for doghouse heaters. All right, the first thing I do is I put the keywords I want to rank for in the title and the text of the most relevant page. That means you need to write good page titles. See, doghouse heaters, heater heaters, that's the page title. The second thing is put it in text on the page. I've got the word heater on there. When Google comes to my site, Google goes, hey, this site's about dog heaters. That's one of the reasons why I rank. The other reason is you want to put the keywords in links to the page on your site. So other pages on your site pointing to the dog heaters page, you would link it in the anchor text using your keyword phrases. And that's, some of that stuff's, you know, pretty deep stuff. You see doghouse heaters, doghouse heaters. This is super important. You don't have to know anything about SEO to do this. Create keyword-rich content. I was talking to a travel guy a minute ago. Hey, travel guy. You want to have articles on your site about travel. So when I search for Icelandic whaling tourist expeditions, you know, because my girlfriend, like, she's an eco person. She said she wanted to go whaling, I think. Oh, whale watching. Oh. Sorry, darling. Man, I'm going to be in so much trouble after this thing's over. Steve writes content. Steve talks about this stuff all the time. He talks about where we live in North Mississippi. He doesn't need a dog heater, but if you live in Iceland, you do. And I've got the keywords sprinkled all throughout the phrase. I mean, he's just writing natural language, like how he talked to a friend of his about, hey, you need a doghouse heater so your foo-foo dog doesn't freeze. And he writes this, Steve says, and this is, we put this content on the product pages or on the section pages. And like I said, 220,000 competitors in the world, my mama ranks number one. And we optimize for all 20 some odd thousand phrases. All right, what if you don't rank? 70% of the folks on Google are clicking on the left-hand side on those free search ads. I mean, on the free search results. But 30% are clicking on the ads in the United States. It may be a little different over here. You need to buy ads. All right, this is how I do PPC, all right? I pick a keyword, automatic dog waterers, a keyword that I say I don't rank really well for it. And then I figure out how much I can pay based on my conversion rate. You know, if you're selling a $5,000, you know, B2B, you know, package or a, you know, something that a university would buy or something that has a huge average sale, you can probably pay a lot more per click than you can if you're me and you're selling an automatic dog waterer that's $20, okay? The next thing you do is you write a good ad. You actually write out an ad that says, put the keyword in the name of the ad, and you say you want people to click on your ad. And the way ads work on Google is you get to tell Google what searches trigger your ads. So I want, you know, my ad, if somebody says, you know, dog water, automatic dog water, auto dog water, auto waterer, I mean, just any of those keyword phrases, I want my ad to show up for those. And the next thing you tell Google is how much you're willing to pay. I tell Google I don't want to pay more than 25 cents a click on this ad. The next thing you do is you create a relevant landing page, a page that actually has what the searcher is intent on finding. Remember intent from a minute ago? Look, I got automatic dog waterers on here. I got 5 different automatic dog waterers. I got articles about it. I got a link to it. I mean, you know, if you're looking for an automatic dog waterer, this is the page you're looking for. But I tell you that so the customer gets to the website and they go, hey, that's exactly what I'm looking for. And then you monitor the results. Google's really good about giving you some tracking software so you can actually see which ads and which keywords actually work for you. And you call the losers and you improve the winners. And you want to appear in the search results for both, you know, free and paid. I'm going to skip that. All right, there's lots more information. I could talk about this stuff, you know, all day. There's lots more here. I hear there's another book coming out, maybe more current than mine. I could only look at the pictures, but they're pretty nice, you know. Hey, how about, say Rob said buy my book, and he has to give me $1, all right? I appreciate that. I'll pay for my jacket. All right, so what happens when you maximize SEO and PPC? All this is theoretical talk. That's great, blah, 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 marketing guy. All right, year four versus the web. Year four. Look at those sales. Again, oops. Look at the scale on that graph, all right? You know? The dog store is toast. We actually sold the dog store to the manager so we could concentrate on the web. It took us 4 years, but we got out of the foo-foo dog business. All right, things always change. I mean, you know, we were talking earlier about, hey, it's going to be 2010 soon, and this is back in 1997. And no, just like doing what worked in 1997 ain't going to work today. You know, you got to be current. You got to stay on top of all this stuff. You got to focus on what works. You don't need to get distracted by Twitter and Facebook unless you're in a relationship business. If you're selling products, it's like I've got Facebook ads. It's like I do stuff on Twitter. I'm not making any money doing that. I'm making money putting content on the web, and Google is finding it and sending me traffic. I'm making money by buying profitable ads for the keywords that my customers use to find what I'm searching for. In September 2003, my dad died. He was out on his farm. He was working with his dogs, and just out of the blue, he had a heart attack. And this just, I mean, it devastated our family. And this would probably qualify as catastrophic event number three if we thought about it that way. But it wasn't business. And my brother stepped up, and he was pretty much already running things anyway. But my dad was making the decisions. I mean, it was his company. It was his name on the sign. You know, it's like anything major, he had to sign off on it. The way we approach customers, you know, our marketing materials. He wanted the company to be done a certain way. And my brother stepped up, and he did a fantastic job. And for the first 6 months, everything was fine. And you can't tell by looking at this graph, but this is year seven. And look at the dog store. I mean, that's a long time ago. I feel like I'm up in the airplane above Reykjavik flying, you know. $250,000. Look at the scale of this graph. This is monthly sales. You can't tell by looking at this, but this was like the worst 3 or 4 months of my life, you know, because here it's happening again. Everything's changing. We were growing. We're hiring new people. We got a bigger building, blah, blah, blah. And something changed. I mean, our sales, they didn't tank, but, you know, we're still not growing. And we had some months that were off, and we had new product. I mean, there's no reason that this should have been happening. And what, looking back now, it's really easy to see. In 2004, which is when this was, every single one of our competitors who used to be offline, they're now online. And every single one of our competitors who was online had a shopping cart. And every single one of those guys was selling all the exact same products that we were selling with the same pictures and the same descriptions from the manufacturers. So you had 1,000 people competing with you, whereas, you know, I'd say, you know, 4 or 5 years before, you might have had 50 people. And then 3 or 4 years before that, you had one guy. But we had a secret weapon. We had to come up with something that they couldn't copy, all right? Anytime we would do something, the competitors would copy it. Anytime the competitors would do something, we would copy them. We would stay. I mean, we were neck and neck. It was driving us nuts. And one thing about my dad, he had two philosophies that I just would bump heads with him endlessly about. Selling stuff and self-proclaimed experts, all right? He would prefer to offer you products in a store that you could come in and buy them if you wanted to, but he wasn't going to put a hard sell on you, and here's the display, and here's the cash register, and I'm reading the newspaper, and if you want to buy something, let me know. Kind of old school. When I'm buying something, when I'm shopping, I want to deal with somebody who knows the products. I don't know what I don't know about buying a shell and a, you know, seal skin or whatever you guys wear, you know, to keep the rain off. I just know I'm freezing, and I just, you know, I'm really cold. Please give me a coat, North 66. I mean, you know. I'm kidding. I'm going to check your website out in just a little bit, actually. So my dad was, you know, against, you know, being pushy and selling stuff, whereas I like somebody who actually knows what's going on. And it's like, I don't mind being sold. I know he's working for a living. I know that guy's on commission. I know he's trying to make a buck. But if he wants me as a customer next time, he better take care of me. He knows what I don't know. He knows what my options are. All right. The second part was self-proclaimed experts. All right, my dad knew more about selling dog supplies and about dogs and training and hunting and that kind of stuff than anybody I've ever met. And he would never, ever say that he was an expert. He was so humble, and he just wouldn't say he was an expert, and he was. And we missed out because of that. You know, on the other hand, I'm probably from the other side of the family, you know. If I don't know something, I'll tell you I don't know it. There's a lot about online marketing and selling online that I don't know about. I don't know about Amazon. I don't know about eBay. PPC, I got my little foot in that, okay? But if I tell you I do know something, you better believe me. If I know something and I believe it and I believe it to be true, I mean, I'll fly all the way from Mississippi to Iceland to tell people about it, you know? And so we made the decision to change the way we did stuff on the website. We had a secret weapon. My brother, Steve Snell, holding the shotgun. Supermodel up here on the cover of Pheasants Forever magazine, believe it or not. It's like, Steve, they didn't put your face on there. Why, buddy? What's wrong with that? Yeah. He's not even up yet. Let's call him and wake him up. My brother is more of a dog expert than my dad was. Steve has 13 dogs. He has trained and hunted with and lived with and, you know, gone swimming with and hunted with and cared for dozens and dozens of these dogs. And he loves these dogs. He loves them more than he loves me. You know, if it's hunting season, he is in the field. He is hunting. He's out in Texas. He's out in Montana. He is, you know, in the field doing research and development. You know, he tells his wife, I have to, honey, it's the job, you know. I mean, here are pictures from a Texas trip. I went out there and took, you know, I created content for Google. I don't know if I've ever heard about that, but it's important. You know, we talk about, you know, he's talking the whole time. I'm recording stuff. I got content. Here is with Sam. Steve does unofficial product development consulting for these companies because Steve will tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. The engineers selling these, you know, very complex systems love Steve because, man, they get what they need. He says, this sucks. This switch needs to be put on the other side because you can't reach it. I was in the Dakotas and it was 20 degrees and the wind was blowing and I dropped it because my hands it hurt. It didn't fit in my hand right. You need to change this. Your competitors are doing a better job of that. He's in the field. He knows more about selling dog collars than anybody I know. The other thing is people buy from people, all right? And they don't buy from websites. They don't buy from a secure form. People buy from people. Transactions are between people. So you want to humanize and personalize the shopping experience that's going to be on your new e-commerce site that you're developing tonight. All right? I was talking to Steve about this. I said, hey, why don't we put all this on the web? I mean, he talks about this stuff nonstop. The other thing I didn't say a minute ago, he's great on the phone. I mean, he may be rude to these manufacturers, but man, if you're a customer and you have a dog and you're like Steve and you're one of his buddies, the second you talk to him on the phone, I mean, he wants to hear what your problems are and he wants to give you suggestions as far as what you need to get. He's not pushy at all. He lays out your options. He says, what's best for you and your dog? And we decided to put this on the web. We put Steve's 13 dogs on the web and we put this training collars buyer's guide. On this, we had a 50% increase in conversions. When somebody comes to my website and they come in on this page, they're 50% more likely to buy than if they just came in on a category page for the same exact product. Man, I say that in e-commerce, you know, conferences, and people get up and leave, they go make buyer's guides. You know, I mean, that is big, big money. If you sell stuff online that's complicated, that needs, you know, information. We make these comparison charts. Steve actually picks the products for specific purposes, and he actually lays out, this is what you need to buy if you're training a yard dog, a foo-foo dog. If you're training a big-running bird dog and you're going to go hunt quail out in Texas, you need one of these long-range two-mile collars. And he goes through, and it's really difficult, but when I'm buying, you know, a coat or something, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what features are important and what features are the marketing department getting excited over some new technology or something. I don't know what I need to know. Here's the detail on, you know, what you want to do with your dog determines what your training dog, what collar you want to buy. And he's kind of got a winnowing tool that we developed. And none of this is like super high technology. This is HTML. If I can code it, you can code it. You don't need an engineer to do this. I built this. I was an art major. I built this in Notepad. You know, that's a picture that I took or that Kathy took. And that's simple HTML. You know, your web person who works for you can do that. Here's a how to choose a pet containment system, an invisible fence, to keep your little foo-foo dog from running off and getting eaten by the coyotes, which we have a problem with that. I don't know if y'all got coyotes out here or not. Arctic foxes, maybe? Here's a review where he talks about the Garmin Astro, which is a dog tracking collar. It's kind of like analytics for bird dogs. You can keep up with your dog. And then the other thing that I want to push is that you need to leverage how you do business to the web, okay? How you take care of customers. In this, Steve says, hey, I don't expect it to come back like new. I want you to use it, and if it doesn't work, send it back, and we'll take care of you. And we don't have a high number of returns. We might get 1.5%, 2% maybe, and these are pretty complicated products to use. But we just say, look, we'll take care of you. You know, buying over the internet is scary. They don't know us, you know. They do because we're personal on the website. They don't know my competitors at all. I mean, my competitors charge you, you know, if you get free shipping to get a product, if you ship it back to them because you don't like it, they charge you to ship it back. But then again, they charge you for the free shipping that they had to pay to send you the thing in the first place. I mean, we actually call the people on our telephone lines, you know, dog product experts, because they are dog product experts. They know what you need if you got a problem, you know, with a barking dog, or if your dog's running off, or whatever. Any idea? I don't know if this works internationally, but we'll be happy to take care of y'all. We ship stuff out fast. We have a 7,500 square foot warehouse. We have about 15 employees at Gundog. I mean, if somebody places an order at 3:30 in the afternoon, it's going on the UPS truck at 4 o'clock. You know, I mean, our supply chain is like, you know, from me to you over there. You know. We also tell people why they should shop with us, you know. I mean, we have our guarantees. We'll take care of you. If you need help, give us a holler. But this is what you guys want to see right here. And I'm showing stuff I'm not supposed to be showing. And so y'all need to forget these numbers and please don't blog this stuff. All right? Shh, don't tell. Mama's going to kill me. You know, Christian said, you know, you need to motivate a nation. And I was like, man, I just want to motivate one guy, you know, one person. And I appreciate you guys inviting me to come speak to you guys, because I know where you guys are. I know where you are, the situation that a lot of you are in. But you individually are not responsible for the entire situation. You're responsible for making sure that your situation's covered. And you can do this online. You can do this. If you have a product that people want to buy and you are interested in taking care of them as customers and doing a good job, not just showing up and making a buck. If you're interested in taking care of people, you can do this online. And this graph shows that. I want to get a t-shirt of that graph. I want to wear it every day and say, look at this. This is what I did. Rob Snell in Starkville, Mississippi, the poorest state in the United States. I graduated from Mississippi State University. You know that top 250 colleges in the U.S. book? I don't think they even, you know, look at Starkville, you know? It's a Cal college. And I'm proud of Mississippi State, but, you know, it's the 50th state in the union in almost everything you know, don't want to be 50th in. You know, and we're remote. It takes me 2 hours to drive to go shopping, you know. I mean, there are 25,000 people who live, you know, in our city. We live out in the boonies. And I love it. It's quiet. It's nice. It's clean. It's green. It's natural. But this is what you can do. The web allows you. It gets... You don't have people in between you and your customers. It allows you to be personal like you can be in a boutique, but to anybody in the world. And you guys can do this. Look at that, 700,000. Now, we hadn't hit that yet for a month. And y'all got to be quiet about this. Keep this on the DL, okay? I mean, PetSmart isn't even a wrinkle in our equation. And look at that line. I don't know if I... Yeah, there we go. That's when we started being very helpful, is the word I like to use. My dad would say pushy. We suggest things that people want to... We suggest solutions to people's problems. We say, if your dog's barking, buy this. If you're afraid your dog's going to run off, get that. Look at the vector on that. That's nuts. You know, I'm not a technical person. I was an art major. I mean, if I can do this... And, you know, I think somebody said... Like I said, my Icelandic isn't as good as it used to be. But I think somebody said earlier today that you need to hire experts. And he's absolutely right. When you get to the point where it's above your pay grade, you need to hire experts. You know, but I did all our stuff. I'm still such a control freak. I still do most of our own stuff myself. It's very difficult for me to turn this stuff loose. You can do this kind of stuff. All right, 7 things I want you to take away from our presentation today. All right. I'm going to have this up on robsnell.com, my website. I've got tons of free information about how to sell online. So many people helped us make it when we were in trouble. People taught us stuff. I mean, people, you know, they say like, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. It seems that way in my life all the time. I mean, people helped us. And so that's why I'm giving this information away. So you got to, you know, don't tell anybody now. All right? Get online now. If you don't have a website, get online. If you don't have your toe in the water, you're not doing anything. But E-commerce is the way to go. If you just have a website and you're not selling anything, if you don't have a way for people to pay you, get some sort of way for people to pay you, you know? I mean, you saw those stats as far as like some of these big brands, you know, that they were getting as far as the percentage of their orders that were now coming over the internet. This isn't a get-rich-quick scheme, you know? Like I said, I mean, I don't want to discourage anybody from going online and trying something. If you saw the list of things that I have failed at online, things that I've tried and not made it, I don't have enough slides to show y'all that, all right? You just got to try things. All right, when a customer is looking to buy what you sell, show up. All right? I know that's really basic, but you want to be where they are. And right now it's Google. And next year it may be Facebook, but right now it's not. You can spend a lot of time wasting time chatting with people on Facebook. If you're in the relationship business, if you're selling real estate, or if you're, you know, a friend of mine got a $100,000 client for his advertising agency. I guess I'm done. It's time for me to wake up in Mississippi. Collect your converting keywords with web analytics. It's really easy. Google Analytics is free. You can go right now, download it, give it to your web guy. He'll throw it up on your website. Collect converting keywords. And then optimize for free Google traffic with search engine optimization. Advertise with paid search ads on Google. And look, you're your own best secret weapon. Leverage who you are to the web. Let the world see the qualities that make you awesome. All right, sometimes the worst thing that could happen to you is the best thing ever. And that's me. Thanks.
I'm sure that on the camera, the audience will now start their own story.